Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
I've entitled the message, Making the Most of the Sabbath. Just for lack of a better title, maybe. But Luke chapter 6, 1 through 11. Just on the leadership class, we're going to be doing an Old Testament survey. And that would be maybe be a technical name just for a study of the Old Testament. Now, if there's one class when I went to college that was kind of like eye-opening, that really helped me understand the whole of Scripture, it was the study of the Old Testament. It's kind of like, wow, I didn't realize all the dynamics and the things that were involved in the history of what took place in the Old Testament. And it's important to understand the Old Testament because it is the backdrop on which the New Testament takes place. Okay, and so if you want to understand the New Testament, it's good to have a good understanding of what took place in the Old Testament. And today is going to be a good example of that, because we're going to talk about the Sabbath, and Hebrews, which is a New Testament book, talks about the Sabbath and uses that as an Old Testament type picture, illustration, to help us understand what is to come. So I think you will enjoy the study. It is not limited to the ones that took this last class. If you want to, maybe you couldn't take the last one, but you can take this one, and you want to study it through the summer. We're going to be meeting on Monday nights. There's two books in there, so it's a little more expensive. But it's about $46 to cover the cost of the books. But we'd love to have anybody that wants to be able to do that to come along board. So that'll be on Monday nights, starting up the middle of May. So if you could let me know today or next Sunday, we'll get those ordered. All right, and I believe there's still some kids camp scholarships that are still available. I just got an email this on Friday. Some of you have filled out, you have a child going to kids camp, I think, or the younger of the two camps, and there's like a $25 scholarship. They're doing 80 of them. So several, I think we have six people that already qualified for it, but if you haven't filled one of those out, if we get those sent in today, we're probably good. You'll probably get that, so, and it does help. All right. Luke chapter 6, starting with verses 1 through 11, making the most of the Sabbath. Now, I don't know about for you, when I grew up, my folks didn't really grow up with a Christian background. They kind of had just kind of both interesting backgrounds. The alcoholism was involved with both sides of the family. But when they became adults, when they got married, they accepted Christ, and they did their best to provide a Christian atmosphere in home in our family. And I just remember growing up, it was very strict that on Sunday, our Sabbath, we went to church in the morning, and we came home, had a good meal, okay, the big Sunday meal. Remember those days? Some of you maybe still do that, but some of those things have kind of changed with our culture. And then we would come home, and a lot of times we'd take a nap, you know, it's kind of like a forced nap, kind of like... You know, it's nice to take a nap when you want to, but when you're forced to, you know, sometimes you kind of fight against it, you know. I don't know what the deal is. I'll take a nap nowadays. And then, of course, if it was football season, it was okay to watch the Minnesota Vikings play on TV. And before we went to church on Sunday nights, that's when they still did a lot of Sunday night church, we always caught Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I think it was on like at 5 or 6 o'clock. Anybody watch that? Okay. Yeah, we got that, and then we'd go to church, all right? So there were some things that were okay to do on Sundays and some things that weren't. If I wanted to go out hunting, that was frowned upon. There were some things that were right and wrong. And I probably saw, as a kid growing up, I saw Sunday as a law to be kept instead of a provision to be enjoyed. Okay? A law to be kept instead of a provision to be enjoyed. And Jesus talks in our passage here in Luke chapter 6, he talks about the Sabbath. And He kind of has a pretty heated debate with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. We call them scribes. But it gets pretty heated of just what the Sabbath is all about. Now, the Sabbath day is technically what day?
Saturday,
man. Okay, all right, you guys are doing good. All right, and Seventh-day Adventists and those that are involved in Judaism would still see the Sabbath day as Saturday, and they still practice that. And I just remember even growing up that if kids that were in Seventh-day Adventists, that they, if there was sporting activities on Saturday, they did not play, they did not practice on that 24-hour window from the sunset of Friday night until the, sunset of the next day. All right? There was a 24-hour window. For those in the Christian faith, the Sabbath day has really become what? Sunday, right? Even then, when I was growing up, there was the laws in place in a lot of states where businesses were closed on Sundays. It was kind of practiced as a Sabbath day. We take that day of rest, and we know that there's probably still some states that still enforce that or have laws in the books. But a lot of businesses now are open on Sundays. But I think there's still the idea of the Sabbath day that God wants to communicate with us, the importance of that. And Christians began meeting on Sunday because of why? Because of the resurrection. Resurrection took place on Sunday, and that became the day to worship and to gather together, and it kind of became the prominent day. And so that's why in our culture in the United States, Sunday is the day that we set aside for a lot of churches have Sunday worship services that day. So let's look at this. Verse 1, we're going to just kind of work our way through it and then draw some points at the end, and the points will be in your bulletin there. It says, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. Okay, so it is probably early fall, maybe August or September in our time frame. And the fields are ready to be harvested. Okay, grain is usually late July into August in our area. And as they were walking along the road next to these grain fields, they began to take some of the heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Father, we ask the blessing over your word today. We pray you take it and apply it to our heart and our life. In your name we ask, amen. Amen. I need to go take a look at my seed. I mean, remember we planted some seeds last week? It wasn't up yesterday, so I need to take a peek. I was going to bring it out this morning, see if they've poked through. Beans usually take a little bit longer, so we'll see. But Jesus and his disciples are going from one place to the other on a Sabbath day, Saturday. And I believe they were limited to the amount that they could travel. Okay, there was kind of like you can only travel a certain distance on the Sabbath. Okay, other days you could travel as far as you could. But on the Sabbath day, you were limited to how much you could travel. Okay, but as they were doing that, they walked along the grain field and they took some of the heads off the wheat plant, took them in their hands and rubbed them. How many have ever done that? Okay, anybody that grows up in Nebraska? Okay, maybe you've done it to a corn, ear of corn, right? You've taken it and rubbed it out. But as they did that, they took the kernels of grain and popped them in their mouth and that was the first kind of fast food, okay? All right? One from one place to the other. And we may think, you know, that wasn't very nice of them. And yet, according to Deuteronomy, let me pull it up here. And I think, Chris, you have it there, right? Deuteronomy 23:25. Let's read that. It says, if you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick some of the kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to the standing grain. In other words, if you're walking by the neighbor's grain field and you want to grab off a head or two and pop it in your mouth just kind of for a snack, that was okay. Now, if you go and take the John Deere combine out and start taking your neighbor's field, that wasn't allowed, okay? The sickle was their combine in that day. You weren't allowed to do that. So there was allowance for that to happen and to take place. So what Jesus and his disciples were doing was not wrong. Okay, even though it was on the Sabbath day. But verse 2 says, some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing this, what is unlawful on the Sabbath day? In other words, they saw what they were doing as unlawful. You're eating grain as you're going by this grain field. It's unlawful. How dare you do it? And verse 3 says, Jesus answered them, "Have you not ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" And this goes back to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 6. And David had a very close relationship with Saul, the king of Israel, the first king of Israel. And, you know, he killed Goliath and some big things like that. And then David became a general in Saul's army, became one of the key guys, and even married one of his daughters. But over time, Saul allowed jealousy to build up within his heart. He realized that David was going to take the throne from him. And he was jealous, and he kept an evil eye on David. In fact, twice he took his spear and tried to pin David against the wall. Okay? And after one of those times, David takes it that, hey, you know what? It's not going to work for me to stay in the king's palace. And he runs for his life. And in the process of running for his life, he stops by the temple, and he's tired, he's hungry, and the priests don't have any food, but they say, what we do have is we do have some bread that's from the temple. It was the table of showbread. They made fresh bread for this. It was one of the pieces of furniture within the temple. And they took, and it symbolizes that Jesus is the bread of life. Okay, there's another Old Testament picture that has New Testament application. And so they took this bread and they gave it. It was usually reserved just for the priest. But in that day, the priest took it and he gave it to David to provide for his need because he was hungry and didn't have anything to eat. In fact, this priest would end up being executed because of his act of kindness when Saul finds out about it. But Jesus lists an occurrence where infringement upon this law was not condemned. He mentions it to the Pharisees. Remember, David, he ate the bread off the altar. And nothing happened to him. And then Jesus says in verse 5, he says, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." You guys aren't the Lord of the Sabbath. I am. Okay? And they had totally lost track of what the Sabbath was all about. Well, then they go on from there to another Sabbath, verse 6. It says, "On another Sabbath, Jesus went into a synagogue and he began teaching." And he did this quite often. And there was a man there whose hand was shriveled up. Now, I don't know how your hand gets shriveled up. Maybe it was born that way. Maybe he had a stroke. Maybe there was some other health issues that happened, but his hand is described as being shriveled up. Probably didn't have any use of it. Maybe it was even smaller, no muscle, crippled up. And he was there in the temple. And now, if that man would have not been healed, would he have survived another day? Probably. He'd been living with it for at least probably sometime. But so Jesus in the temple, he sees this man with a shriveled hand. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, verse 7, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. And if you look at the original language here, they were looking with evil intent. They had Jesus' actions under the microscope. They were looking for any wrong move that they could say, aha, we caught Jesus doing wrong, and now we can get even, we can do something harmful to him. They were looking for a way to trap him in the words that he did, said, and the deeds that he did. They were looking with evil intent. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. I don't know, somewhere, for whatever reason, they thought that healing on the Sabbath was work. And so they were going to try to catch Jesus, verse 8. But Jesus knew that what they were thinking. Don't you love that? He knew what they were thinking. And instead of just kind of going with the flow, he decides, you know what? We're just going to kind of bring this thing to head here. And so Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everybody." So the man gets up, stands up, and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, "I ask you, which is it?" He asked all the people there, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to destroy it?" And he looked around at them all and he said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He wants to prove a point here. He says, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretches out his hand. What happens? It is healed, right? It's restored completely. He can move it. Do all sorts of weird things. I don't know. He could probably even do this thing that I can't do. But it was completely restored. And did the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, did they kind of have like a praise gathering and say, "Woohoo! We've just seen a miracle"? What happened? It says that they were furious. In the original language, it means that they were livid, to the place that they lost ability to reason or to think. You ever seen somebody so mad that they just kind of lose the ability to reason or think? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you've been there. Go on a timeout. 1, 2, 3. All right? But they were so furious that they had lost. It means actually, it's used, that word is also used for being insane. Almost to the place of insanity, they were so upset and furious. Why? Why were they upset? Because Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath. Think about that, folks. Because Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath, they were furious and upset. Here God, Jesus the Son of God, was in their presence, who had the power to heal the sick and raise the dead, and they were furious that he healed on the Sabbath. They were more in love with the law and keeping the law than they were with the Son of God. This morning I want us just to I want us to take away a few things from this passage, a few principles that we can take home with us. This miracle revealed the goodness of God, but it revealed the evil intent of the scribes and the Pharisees. So what can we take home with us today? It's in your program there. I believe that the Sabbath is a provision to be enjoyed and not a law to be kept. It's a provision to be enjoyed, not a law to be kept. If you totally see that, I believe that God had the Sabbath day. When was the Sabbath day started? When was the first Sabbath day? When God created the heavens and the earth. 6 days he created, and on the seventh day he rested. Now, I don't think God needed to do that for his own benefit, okay? He's God, okay? He can go 24-7. In fact, he has a 24-7 hotline, okay? All right? Some of you have used it. Middle of the night, God, I need you. Okay? I don't think God had to do it for his own benefit, but he wanted to model for us that we need to build into our lives some margin. We need that day of rest. And whether it is on a Sunday, whether it is on a Friday, you know, just different work schedules, we need to build that within our lives. Okay? A day that we can pull away from our normal activities and do some maybe things that we enjoy, that we can come together and worship together to refresh our spirit. But we need that time. Just to pull away from the ordinary things of life, the things that stress us out, that burn us out, the demand of us. And we need a break. And Jesus says to build that into your lives. And now, the most spiritual people I know struggle with taking a time to refresh their body, soul, mind. They really do. Okay? And some of you, man, some of you are type A, you just go, go, go. And you have a tough time building that into your life. But if you're going to be refreshed from day in, day out, to be intentional. In fact, you may have to be very intentional about setting aside a day just to refresh yourself. Some of you, we need to go the other direction, right? No. You don't have, you know, you rest. No, you don't rest six and work one. But pastors, you know, you only work one day a week and you just got it made. So, but some of us have to be pretty intentional. And, you know, there again, I don't think it's about legalism, but it's to understand that God wanted to build some margin into our lives. Okay, some margin. You know that white area in your Bible and the books you read? And we have margin, right? It's some buffer zone. And we need that within our lives. We need that time to refresh ourselves and to replenish our body, our soul, and our mind. And that's the way God created us. And so we need that time. And, I don't know what activities you shouldn't do and should not do. I don't want to make a list because the minute you make a list, then you break it. And all I know is that we need a break from our, you know, if we pound nails 5 to 6 days out of the week, maybe we, on that other day, we shouldn't pound nails, okay? Carpenter. Maybe you should do something else that you enjoy to refresh yourself. Okay? Go for a walk and have a glass of iced tea and read your Bible. But take some time to replenish what's on the inside. Gathering on Sunday for worship is not just about keeping a law, but it's being intentional about refreshing our spirit and our relationship with God. Jesus understood that we need time to relax, to rest, and to enjoy life. We need a break from the routine of our work. Work's a good thing, but we need a break from it at times, all right? Okay? And, I don't know if I want to go there or not. We do have Mother's Day coming up, and I know that moms, when you have those little kids, it's kind of like, when do you get a break? That's why you have a husband or vice versa, right? You take turns. Because you need a break there too, right? Come on, ladies. Yeah. All right, there we go. Okay. You need breaks. Number two, the Sabbath day is not an excuse to ignore human need. Or to do good. You can add that in there, to do good. The Sabbath is not an excuse to ignore human need or not to do good. Now, Jesus did good on the Sabbath, didn't he? Now, he could have ignored the need that was before him. The guy would have lived another day. But he wanted to kind of push the point that it's okay to heal. It's okay to do good on your Sabbath day. It's okay to do good. Now, if you do too much good, then you probably have crossed the boundary and you're there again. But it's okay to do good. Now, an example, if you're on your way to church this morning and somebody is pulled over on the side of the road with a flat tire and they need your help, should you go to church or should you help them out? Help them out. Okay? Okay? I'll forgive you. All right? And you never know, maybe you bring them to church. At least it makes our church more attractive to know that, you know what, these people actually care about helping somebody out in a time of need. And there again, but the Pharisees and scribes thought, oh, you can't do that. You need to get to church, fulfill that law. You know, that person is just going to have to, they'll get it fixed somehow or another. They'll have to break the Sabbath by getting it fixed and go to hell. That's the way it was, folks. It was very much black and white. And, you know, Jesus was saying, you know what, to see human need and to do good and not do anything about it is actually breaking the law in and of itself. Jesus saw human need, even on the Sabbath day, and he said, you know what, I'm going to heal. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. The Sabbath is not an excuse to ignore human need. So if you see somebody in trouble, go help them out, okay? Number three, the Sabbath is a reminder of what is yet to come. The Sabbath is a reminder of what is yet to come. I'm going to turn to Hebrews for this, because Jesus talks about the Sabbath, but then what I like about the book of Hebrews is it takes the Old and the New Testament and kind of weaves them together, all right? And it's the best book of the New Testament that really helps us to understand how the Old Testament tied in with the New Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 4, he talks about the Sabbath day of rest. And that the Sabbath was actually a picture, a type, an illustration of what is to come. That just as the Sabbath day was a day of rest, so there is going to come a day of rest for the people of God. That we are going to rest from the things of this earth, the toil, the struggles, the pain. We're going to rest from all that, and we call that place heaven, okay? It was a picture of heaven, the Sabbath was. And he wants to encourage his audience, the author of Hebrews, to not miss out on heaven is what he's talking about. Unlike the Israelites that died in the wilderness, okay? I'm going to give a little bit of background, and then we're going to read that, okay? So the people of Israel, if you look at Old Testament history, The nation of Israel is kind of started in small numbers. It's just Jacob and his family that go down to Egypt because of Joseph. Okay, there was a famine in the land. They end up in Egypt. Joseph is there. God provides for them there. They're stuck there for 400 years. Okay. By that time, they are a nation that is probably several million people. And God now is going to bring them out of Egypt because now they're no longer occupants of that land, but they are now servants and slaves. All right? Okay? And God would raise up who? Moses, to deliver them, okay? And to lead them out of the promised land. So they get out of Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land. God provides for them in the wilderness. And they're at the edge of the promised land. They're about ready to go in. They send 12 spies in. And they scope out the land. They say, man, it's flowing with milk and honey. In other words, there was just a lot of fruit. It was very productive land. But they said, you know what? There's a problem. These people are kind of big. You know, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And we can't do it. It's great land. God, you really made a good pick, but we can't do it. Only Joshua and Caleb are the ones saying, hey, if God can give it in to our hands. And the people rebelled. The people rebelled. And that generation would wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation had all died off. They had disobeyed God. And then they come back around to the promised land one more time. Moses is now dead. Joshua would lead them into the promised land. And they would inherit the promised land. And so the backdrop is don't disobey God and miss out on God's rest. The rest there was the promised land. And so he says here in verse 9 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, he says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. And let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that none of you will fall by the following an example of disobedience of the people in the wilderness. I'm going to have the musicians come. Verse 12, for the word of the Lord is living and sharp. You've probably heard this. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, as we get into God's Word, it helps us to discern our own actions, our own thoughts, what is right and wrong. Even the things that seem to be very close together. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes. We can fool a lot of people, but we can't fool God. He sees all that we do. Because it is to Him we must give account. See, here's the good news. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Easy. See that picture? Hold firmly to that rope, to that faith. For we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Did you know that? In every way. Yet he did not sin. Verse 16, I refer to this verse a lot. Because of that, let us then approach the throne of grace with reluctance. Is that what it says? Boldly, with confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, whenever we take a day just to rest, it's not about legalism, but it is rejuvenating our life, our body, soul, and our mind. But it also points to a day where we're going to enter into God's presence. And the toil of this world is going to be gone. We're going to be in His presence. There's going to be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more disease. We're going to be in His presence. And to help us on that journey, we have a great high priest whose name is Jesus, who has walked where we have walked. He understands how we are made. He understands our weakness. He understands that. And so he says, let's approach with confidence that we can have the help in our time of need so that we can finish, so that we can ultimately enter that ultimate rest in heaven. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We're going to close with that song, Enough. And I believe the Sabbath day is a provision to be be enjoyed. Not a law to be kept. I have a feeling that I think I would have enjoyed the Sunday more growing up if I would have had that perspective. Because I saw it as a matter of a law to be kept. Not just to be enjoyed, to be a time of refreshing, to take a break. And Jesus had to set the Pharisees straight. And he still speaks to us today. Just on a perfect, on a realistic, a godly understanding of what the Sabbath is about. And whenever we take a break on our Sabbath day, it reminds us of that day that's to come. Amen? Amen. Let's sing that together. Enough.